Good afternoon. Thank you for once again tuning into the program, and I would like to bring you a message this afternoon concerning the sanctity of marriage. The sanctity of marriage. When God sanctifies something, He sets it apart, and God has set aside marriage for special purposes. Marriage is an important and fundamental relationship. We know this because God created it from the beginning with Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 2, we read about where God established the first home. In verses 20 through 25, you understand that God, in Genesis 1 through 3, saw that the home was not only created, but wanted the earth to be filled, replenished, as it says in the King James. And the failure of Adam and Eve in the initial stages of their home does not mean that you cannot have a successful home today. In fact, you can learn from their failures and see what it takes in order to do what God wants you to do. He has always had laws for marriage from the very beginning, but man has always tried to go beyond God's wishes to make himself happy. And sometimes when people think that they're going to do something to make themselves happy, it ends up actually being the saddest thing they could have ever decided to do. There are some special challenges that we face today. If we do not meet these challenges, these attacks against marriage head on and in every way that we can, then we risk becoming like Sodom and Gomorrah. It is the purpose of this lesson I'm presenting to you right now to get us to see what God's idea for marriage is and compare it with some of the statistics and different problems that we're seeing coming out for, what is happening with marriage down through the years. You have to, when you look at it, kind of step back and look at the big trends in society. The reason that this needs so much preaching on is because a breakdown in the home is causing difficulties in the churches, it's causing difficulties in the schools, it's causing difficulties in, our nation. And there are all kinds of information about that that I'd like to share with you to set the stage for the rest of my speech this afternoon. Martha Irvin from the Associated Press writes that many couples are choosing to leave off marriage altogether, and we know that just by, seeing how people live. Others are delaying marriage indefinitely. Some choose this, you see, because of financial or housing arrangements. The Christian may find this, an appalling thing. I certainly do. But people in the world consider marriage a social contract without really any scriptural consequences. I'll just, make a contract here and then I'll break it at will, just like I would some kind of business contract. There are several practical ways, however, that a Christian can respond to this to try to keep the sanctity of marriage alive. One is to encourage people who can get married with God's approval, just read Matthew chapter 19, to go ahead and to do so. Marriage is a wonderful thing, and they should pursue that. Secondly, we should refuse to refer to them as a couple or accommodate them as such until they make the marriage commitment. It shouldn't be something that's socially accepted with us that, they're together, but they're just not married. They're either going to get married or it's not something where they can feel comfortable around me because I certainly don't feel comfortable around them. A Christian will insist that fornication be denounced, both from the pulpit and in their own family situations, and that no exceptions are made in the church for those who are close family or church members and things like that. Too many Christians will speak out when it's in somebody else's family, but they won't be aggressive with teaching the truth in their own. Besides people living in fornication, another great concern is all the children we see living in broken homes or homes without both a mother and a father figure. You see, this is a side result of people not holding up the home as a sanctified thing. When God said to replenish the earth and wanted us to go out and fill that earth, then you got a hard time doing what God wants you to do and bringing those children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord when you got a father that may be miles and miles away and he's with somebody else now and the mom's over here by herself trying to raise the child. It just doesn't work right. According to the U.S. Bureau Census, in 1980, 77% of all children under 18 lived with two parents. And you think, oh, no, that leaves, 23% there that were without two parents. Oh, think of all those poor children. But get this, 73% did in 1990. That is the percentage of those with only that one parent, that is, that had a broken home. It increased to being over a quarter of them. And then that even increased more because two-parent homes went down to 69% in 2000. That means now you've got 31% from the statistics I just read to you that are from broken or one-parent homes. And you think about what's happening to our children. If the good percentages keep going down and the bad ones keep going up like this, then it is going to present a very unique challenge to our nation and to the church. How will we get the children to come to church consistently without home support? Because the home, you see, is just flying apart this way and that. The issue has to be dealt with head on. Each Christian should determine whether they can help their neighbor to be right and to say good words to them and to help them in any situation that they can. They need to determine if the home that they are working with, you know, the people they're trying to help, is just permanently split up, and, you know, if they have to just move on to the next person. There's all kinds of folks out there you'd like to help, but you just can't help them. We have to understand that God has an ultimate will, and His will be done. He desires that one man be with one woman, Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 25, guiding their houses according to God's rules, bringing the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, Ephesians chapter 6. If we can restore the original marriage, then, you know, we've done well. You've helped out your neighbor. If there's no help for the separation of husband and wife, for example, he may be an abusive adulterer and he's just not about to come back and she's not about to have him back, then our main concern will be to see if we can get the innocent parties, the children or the innocent spouse, in church. Get them to worshiping God and serving the Lord and bring them up, you know, right. And, you know, just help as best you can as a good and loving neighbor as a Christian ought to. Christians should encourage a stable home in which God is respected and Jesus is loved. Invite people from broken homes into your own home. Don't browbeat them. Don't look down upon them, but show them love by example. Show them that whatever their situation in life, that they can learn how to serve God and they can you know, take care of things in the very best way so that those children are brought up right. The power of example before people will help to mend homes, and for those homes that are permanently broken up, help those who are struggling to get by themselves, oftentimes mothers trying to raise up children by themselves, to get through some of the problems. It's because of a lack of a father figure that you have a lot of modern problems in society, like, for example, homosexuality. The war of values is being waged with homosexuals on various fronts. First of all, they tried to say that, you know, they couldn't help being homosexual. Well, I just am the way I am. When actually it's because they don't have a father figure and they have learned their behavior from modern day society and media. They claimed that God made them that way. However, God doesn't force someone to sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth he any man. And God always gives us a way of escape from temptation, as it says there by Paul to the Corinthians. Furthermore, God has always considered homosexual acts to be sinful. And you see that from down through the Bible, Old and New Testament alike. Sodom and Gomorrah are left to us as an example of how God feels about this sexual perversion. And so there is this attack going on nowadays, you know, against the home. Secondly, the homosexual agenda has been trying to get their relationships legitimized in society by saying that they have the right to get married and so forth. Been preaching on that recently. And, you know, how do we fight this? Well, they need those role models. They need good examples. And if there simply isn't a man in that child's life, then as a Christian man, what can you do? Well, participate in manly activities with both, first of all, your family, and secondly, you know, maybe the neighborhood boys. Do everything that you can. You and your wife get together and show others what a good and stable home results in and let them develop naturally and normally according to the way that, you know, boys and girls are supposed to. This may mean being a part of things like, you know, Boy Scouts, having games of football, or just, you know, rough play and outdoor fun when it comes to how men act. And when it comes to how, you know, girls act, then your wife can be a powerful force to showing them the beauty of women and getting them to appreciate that. Mothers can surround their girls with things that are feminine. Soft and frilly things are not a sign of weakness, but a part of feminine nature. And it helps them to grow up and to understand the differences between a boy and a girl. Even girls that are tomboys, they can still be godly girls entirely. They can be made to admire the traits of strong and athletic men and be attracted to them. And there's nothing wrong with this. This will avoid some of the moral evils that we're seeing come on our broken homes and will cause our homes to be stronger in days to come. The first thing that we should teach each other in order to preserve the sanctity in the American home is that we should teach one another love. Love between husband and wife, love for one another, love for our entire family. Such love will cause any marriage to be successful, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 25. Furthermore, many problems can be avoided in marriage by just marrying another Christian. This means looking for a maid who has believed and obeyed the gospel by repenting of their sins, confessing her faith, and they've been baptized for the forgiveness of sins. You take somebody into your home like that and make them a part of yourself, and you'll do well. Well, I thank you for listening this afternoon to the message about the sanctity of marriage and of the home. Go out there and encourage good and godly homes in your community, and tune in again to this radio broadcast next weekday for the Mount Gilead Church of Christ. I'm Tim McHenry.